Eskom says that the difference between what they originally offered and what they have now settled with, the union agreeing to a 7%, the unions agreeing to a 7% increase, going to cost them another 1 billion rand over and above what it would have cost if they paid, if they accepted the original offer. But when you've got debt in excess of 400 billion, another 1 billion, yeah, peanuts. And that debt problem is significant. The amount of money that they are having to pay in interest on that debt at a time when they are providing less and less electricity. Some people are saying, to hell with you to Eskom, mines and factories generating their own electricity. All the load shedding means, you know, that the amount of money that I pay for electricity in a month lasts me 6 weeks because, hey, I'm hardly using it much of the day. So they're in a situation where their expenses are going up and their income is going down. Carol Payton has written about Treasury's attempts to find a credible solution to Eskom debt. Hello, Carol.
Hi there, John.
How well along are they on that path to finding a credible solution?
Well, it's early days, I would say, because they're not really ready to communicate anything. But I think the very important step is that, you know, Eskom has had this problem for a long time. In fact, it's 4.5 years since, you know, Eskom nearly defaulted and realized that it couldn't actually pay its debt. It's nearly 4.5 years and nothing has been done. So what Treasury's been doing is just every year just drip feeding Eskom with a bit more money just to service the debt so they don't default. But no resolution to the whole problem. So the big change here is that now someone has actually said, you know what, we've got to solve this problem and let's do the technical work. So that's what's happening. So I think that if, you know, the best case scenario is we get to the October medium-term budget, and Enoch Godongwana is able to say, listen, guys, I've got a plan.
Is there a plan? I mean, there's some very clever people at Treasury. There are fewer than there were maybe 10 years ago, but there's still some very clever people at Treasury. Is it a case of there's always a solution, John?
Well, you know, I think one of the problems is that there's been lots of very so-called clever solutions put out there by clever people. Saying we'll do a debt swap and we'll swap equity and the government pension fund and all sorts of ideas, which in fact have none of them have ever flown. And that's been part of the problem. And what you just need here is a straightforward, simple solution. Is government, the government, is the government going to take that 200 billion or whatever it is, it's about 200 billion, we think, of the 400 and put it onto its own balance sheet and take responsibility for it. And that is a simple, simple solution. And it's the one that everyone's been too scared to do.
Why have they been too scared to do it? Because the money still has to be paid back. One understands, well, I, with my very vague understanding of these things, understands how it is good for Eskom, because if they have only 200 billion rand debt, then they are able to borrow more money, which they will continue to have to do for a while, on more favorable conditions. So their debt load, well, it doesn't decrease, but the rate of increase slows down. But that money's still got to be paid. And does it matter whether it's Eskom or Treasury that's paying that debt?
Exactly. It doesn't actually really matter. You know, debt is debt. Like many people have been saying these few years, well, actually, you know, this is actually really government debt, so why don't you just take it over anyway? And so that's what makes the most sense. I think what people have been frightened of is two things. So one is the kind of moral hazard of forgiving Eskom for having got itself into this situation, just saying, you know, well, don't worry, we'll handle it. And the moral hazard of that is that if Eskom isn't fixed and in a better state, then in 5 years' time, we're in the same position where they've got another 200 and they're on 400 again. So I think that's been the one argument, which is, you know, a good argument. And the other one is the fact that, you know, government itself, the South African sovereign, has so much debt, as you know, that we're trying to reduce. And we've just keep promising these plans to the world and to investors and to taxpayers, don't worry, we're going to bring this debt down. And here we are going to go and whack another 200 billion rand onto it after all of these kind of plans and promises. So those are the difficulties. But as you say, I mean, this is government debt anyway. And I think that the point is really you need to be able to tell a convincing story. And I think that's the difficult part. You need to be able to say to the world, taxpayers, everybody, well, listen, we're going to forgive Eskom. We're going to effectively forgive Eskom by taking this debt over, but we're going to make sure this doesn't happen because Eskom's going to be in a better state. And I think that, you know, from what you were saying in your introduction, we all know Eskom is not in a better state, and that's the big problem.
Yeah, because I mean, we won't do this again. How many times have we heard we won't do this again, and then it's done again? How many times have we been told that bailouts for SOEs will stop, and they might stop in the way we've come to know them, but then they, you know, with Takatsa Consortium and all that stuff, which you've also written about, they happen in, perhaps it's unkind to call them sly and underhanded ways, but they don't stop. They just keep going, because the consequences of not keeping going with the bailouts is, in the words of somebody famous, too horrible to contemplate.
Exactly. So they don't stop. And yeah, that's the problem. That's where the credibility comes in, because you have to be able to tell a story that says, like, well, we are going to stop this. And at this point, everyone will go like, yeah, well, I've heard that one before. So that's the difficulty that they face.
Carol Payton, thank you very, very much indeed for talking to us. A very good journalist working for Fin24.